It is before Yontif, I guess, one important ways to prepare for Yontif, to have a meaningful Yontif, is to learn about the Yontif. And learning the halachas, besides knowing the halachas, I think learning is very important. Learning a little bit about the ideas within a yontif, those are all things that make the yontif come alive. It's the same yontif, but each time we go through yontif, we're able to see it with a little bit of a different perspective. It's like the food that you eat. We basically eat the same food, but you rely on your wife to make it a little different each time and to put a different taste and cut it differently, and that makes a big difference. The sort of routine and sort of tedium of yontifs, if we would be able to prepare it each time with some different feel for it, we'd have a different yontif, and that's why learning about these things is really, it's really important to help us live through a yontif. The piece, so like always, we choose a piece of somebody that one of the Bali Machshava, and to help us, give us that different taste in yontif. This one is from Reb Chaim Friedlander and Sifsei Chaim. Reb Chaim Friedlander was a Talmud or primary Talmud of Rav Desla. He was the Mashkiach in Panevich Yeshiva afterwards. He was a very deep person, extraordinary person. He died all too young. I think he didn't hit 60. He was lived to somewhere in the 80s. I don't remember the exact date, but I remember basically when. And they've put out quite a few works, Sifsei Chaim. And in many ways, he has the same approach as Rav Desla in taking ideas that are quite profound and sort of draws from Kabbalah type sources, completely reworks it in ways that are meaningful, and that's why his farm have become quite popular. He's written on Yom Tovim, he's written on Tefillah and Emunah, on different things. This is a piece over here on Rosh Hashanah. Now, before we see the piece, let's ask ourselves the two questions kind of that are the questions he's going to deal with. One is, if we were to ask ourselves, what are the important facets of Rosh Hashanah? So you could speak about a new year, a new beginning. You could speak about a day of judgment. You could speak about tshuva. Those would be to us three main themes. A day of remembrance, which is what we use in tefillah, seems to us kind of focusing on a very, very, a sort of a minor detail. Yes, in judgment you remember, so therefore it's called their remembrance. But it's like asking somebody who's, let's say a judge, and what does he do? He says he writes on paper. Yeah, you do write on paper, and that's a small piece of it. It's certainly not what you describe. So remembrance, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges people, and you need to remember to judge people, but that doesn't seem to be like, that should be the one-word description of Rosh Hashanah. It probably would not, nobody in the audience would probably pick that word to describe Rosh Hashanah. That's one issue. The second issue is more in trying to pin down a meaning. There are many anthropomorphic terms used to describe Hashem. And we have to do that because our vocabulary only deals with human terms. When we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indescribable, we haven't said anything really intelligent. I mean, it's true, but that truth doesn't give us anything. So when we speak about doing something wrong makes Hashem angry, we translate it as, well, when you make somebody angry, it cuts a relationship, it creates friction, it has bad repercussions, it boomerangs. There are many ways I can ascribe that word and translate it into God. So just like when I say something makes Hashem happy. So when I make somebody happy, there's an intense sense of closeness, there is rewards to it, and so on. So those terms are easily translatable when you talk about man and God. Remembering is really not something that we could easily translate it into a term that fits God. For us, remembering really means not forgetting. When I say he remembered something, what I'm saying is, as opposed to somebody else who forgets things after a day or a week or whatever it is, he still remembers. So when we speak about human remembering, we're talking about a physical, so to speak, ability. We're not talking about any type of interaction that we could possibly translate. So Hashem being happy or Hashem being angry, yes, I could translate that in a way that we can use in God. Remembering is really, really something that, what exactly does it mean that Hashem remembers? He certainly remembers, but as opposed to forgetting, that doesn't exist as an option. So what exactly is it? Those are going to be the points that are going to be addressed. So let's start. Chazal Korshan Tefillah Kiddush Yom HaZikaron. The Chazal gave the name for Tefillah and Kiddush Yom HaZikaron. And he says, Sarach Bia, why is Zikaron described the content of the day? Why not Yom HaDin, Yom HaMishpat? And then he says, this sort of leads into the second point. Hazikaron omna machana ledin. Yes, getting the facts, you're making sure that you have all the things remembered, so to speak, all the things recorded, is an important preparatory stage for a din. Yes, if you want to carry out justice, you've got to remember all the details and they have to correct. But in other words, presentation of evidence is not din. It's a preparation. Now, when you've got all the facts, you judge it. But what is it? What is it? Why is that mishpat? So he says, yes, you know, a physical judge needs to go through two stages. You have sort of a stage of discovery, depositions, and stuff like that. You have all the evidence that's gathered. You present that, and then you argue out the merits of the case and so on. Last paragraph. Inyana Zikaron Meseas Chel Karishin. Zikaron is something that deals with the first part, which is Havharas Ha'uvdos, clarifying the facts. So, but when Hashem judges us, he's not Eino Zokuk L'Chel Karishon. He doesn't need to clarify that. Le'em Tzoyim L'Kvoaz Kolo Uvdos. Ke'akol Golov Yidua L'Fanecha. We say very clearly in the Zichronos, we say that Hashem knows everything, all the facts are there, nothing is hidden, nothing is forgotten. It's a given, it's axiomatic to our understanding of what Hashem is. So what does it mean? So why does Zikaron actually describe most effectively that Mishpat? Okay, so next page. It says, "Aleinu levarz in zikaron shel Hashem Yisparach." Let's try and understand a little bit in some of the psukim that we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembering, and seeing how would it be that the Torah uses it. So he brings the first pasuk that we say in Zichronos, "Vayiskel Elokim es Noach veskol achayos chaveim ashita bateva." So over there, the word Zikaron certainly cannot, even in the context of Psukim, can't mean what we call Zikaron. I mean, it wasn't as if Hashem had many things going on. The world was destroyed. There was one teva with one person there, and with one family, and that was humankind. When what else was going on? Like, forgetting means I have a bunch of things going on. What else was going on? What does it mean by Yiskol Akim Es Noach? So Rashi says Vayiskol Akim Zu Hashem Midas Hadin Hi. The word Elokim would normally Midas Hadin. It would normally refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's in a punishment mode, when he's exacting retribution. But V'nefchol Midas Harachma Itfilas Tzadikim. But something about tefillah changed it. And so this is something which there was a change in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's activities due to the tefillah. So let's look back at the word. Vayisko Elokim es Noach. And Rashi says it's through Noach that Elokim became changed. So did that affect Zechira? And then let's see the next paragraph. Haschiras Hashem Yisbarach ena Zechira Uvdos. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers, we're not referring to facts, because what does it mean it changed? Ela haschira etzal Hashem Yisbarach hi hafolas achas mimidosav. Im hi letova hafolas midosarachmim o lehefachas v'sholem. So it must be that by Hashem, Zikaron is using a certain approach, as opposed to man, where remembering is only a means to something, but rather not a change. It's not a change in approach as much as remembering. Let's talk a little about this, and let's go briefly to two or three places that he mentions, and then we'll try to explain it. Skip down to the last paragraph. Hapasuk Hasheni b'Zichronos. Hapasuk Hasheni who Vayishma Elokim es Nakosam, Vayiskor Elokim es Briso es Avraham Yaakov. When Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard them davening, he heard them groaning, he heard the groans of the collective agony of the Jewish people, and he remembered his covenant. What does that mean? Heim rak achshav niskal kim bebris avis, or lifnei kein lo yozoch aloi. So again, same thing. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered the bris, and then he said, okay, I'll save them. What does that mean? He forgot before? What does that word vayiskor mean? And he brings Rashi, another two lines down. V'chein fosh Rashi ha-posik v'yarkim soil v'yeda l'kim nosan aleihem leiv v'lo helim einov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid attention and didn't disregard them. So there is some sort of twist over here. Something about memory and not memory that has to do with something about paying attention, not paying attention. So let's skip down to next page, Kuftes, and we'll see what he says over here. Let's talk about this first outside, we'll discuss, and then we'll see it inside. When we ask ourselves, memory is an ability HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. So there's an element of memory where it's just an ability. You know, it's for some reason I can remember things for a year, somebody else can remember it for 10 years, somebody else for 100 years. And this is sort of, we'll call it a physical, so to speak, ability. And that has to do with limitations of a person, that's it. There is another element of memory that is a very different aspect of a person. And if I can use a mushal, when you have a computer and you have different programs, you have the active window and the window that's not active. You can have many windows not active. In other words, there are programs that are not running and they're not running. There are programs that are running but they're not active. Your keyboard is not giving any input to it. You can't see it on the screen per se, but it's working in the background. So you have different aspects of a let's call it memory, which is active memory versus latent or let's call it subdued memory. I don't have a good word for it. In other words, things that are not in the active functioning mode, but they still exist. So, for instance, let's take something very simple first. There are many, many things that if a person were to ask me, I would know. But I'm not thinking of all that at the same time. It's not as if my mind's working all these things, but they are there. They are fresh in the memory. They're available, but they're not my active memory. My active memory is focused on whatever it is that I'm doing now. I hope that's sort of the active part. The part that's hidden is available. But so if someone asked me now what's the phone number so and so, I would switch and I would remember the phone number and I won't have a problem recalling it. But it's still there. The ability to to be able to have parts of what you're aware of, active and inactive, is has more to do with the functioning of a person and how I choose to function, rather than a simply an ability that's just a limitation of a person or an ability of a person. When a person, for instance, let's say interaction with people, let's take some more complex. I can have very, very strong, fond feelings towards somebody, and somebody I like a lot, but at this moment, I happen to be upset about something that he did. A child did something, and we're upset. So it doesn't mean we stopped loving the child, and so on, but, and yeah, maybe some people, everything is just pure chinuch, and it's all coming from love and so on, but I think it's perfectly valid that right now, the active memory is a memory of anger. And just whatever's, what's happened now is that you were careless, you spilled this, you forgot that, and so on. So here I have a child in front of me. Do I love this child? Of course. Would I give anything in the world for him? Yes, I would. But in this, at this particular moment, the active window is the window of anger, of being upset. So memory in this context that we're talking about, which is much more than just a dry ability. We're talking about where am I interacting with that person? Through which window? Through the window of my incredible love for my child that I've given so much for and will give so much for? Or in a particular window of now where there's anger and so on? It's impossible not to do that, because there's always going to be... Most relationships are very complex, and there are many factors, and I can't be relating with all the pieces at the same time. So I need to have, in any relationship, I need to have the active window and the windows that are not active but can be summoned at a moment's notice. They're not dead, those programs. I didn't forget about loving my child. It's not as if it no longer exists. It's just that at this moment, it's not the active. So we found in human beings memory and anger, memory and subdued memories or inactive memories that are meaningful in the context of me functioning as a person in relationships. And that's going to be something that we will understand regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's take a look at the next piece. A kuf test. Yesh etzel adam daga shanash zikaron. There are different madregas of zikaron. Yesh v'adam zochet varm bebehiris rabba ki ilu omdim neged enam kol chiyusim. There are things a person is, it's as if he sees them in front of him. They're there. V'yesh dvarm shezichronam kilu rodam v'keheh. And there's some things where the memory is sort of in slumber. It's sort of sleeping. Ki yadua zet tolu harbe b'rtzayna adam. That's very much up to a person's desire. Dov ashadim u'unyim boi me'oid nishachai b'zichrono. Things that a person is very, very wants, it's a thing that interests him at a particular moment. That's alive, like we would call it the active memory. Those things sink down at the very bottom of a person's memory. Now that's a very simple example. You tell a boy goes off to school, you tell him, remember, take your lunch, don't forget this, don't forget your coat, whatever it is. And sure enough, they come back without it, or they didn't remember to take it, or whatever it is. So did the child willfully do it? No. Does he have a very weak memory that, it doesn't last more than 30, 40 seconds? Doesn't seem like that. So what happened? The answer is that for us as an adult, if we spent $100 and bought the child a coat, that's in our active memory, and remember, take it, and so on. It's not the child's active memory. It becomes a window that's very back behind many, like 5, 6, 7, 8 windows ahead of it. So this is already something that has nothing to do with ability as much as with focus. what is it? And that's why, I mean, many people who as young people, they're kind of sloppy all over the place, and they forget, they lose tickets, they lose passports and stuff like that. Once they have consequences 2, 3, 4 times, they learn to put it in the active window. And the Gemara actually has a halachic description of that. There's a question in the Gemara, whether or not, at what point, if I find an object that it's impossible to identify the owner with certainty, I found a money laying around, I find a wallet with absolutely no ID. So the halacha is, if I pick it up before the person became aware of losing it, then I'm stuck with it, I can't keep it. If the person realized and recognized that he lost it, and he gave up hope on it, then I can keep it. That's the halacha. It's called Yush. For those of you who don't know Mitzvah or Nehla Mitzvah, it's a very, very famous sugya. The Gemara asks, what about if a person finds a wallet with money? Again, there's absolutely no way to identify the person. It's a very common generic wallet and no special series of bills, whatever it is that you can't identify. Can we assume that a person lost it, knows about it or not? When can I make that assumption? And the Gemara says, Adam osi l'mashmish b'kisa kol shah. A person is always subconsciously feeling his pockets to see if the wallet is there or not. We're very aware of it, and if the pocket feels light all of a sudden, we sort of instinctively reach and something doesn't feel right about it because it's something that is on our minds. The Gemara speaks about witnesses' reliability of testimony, and the Gemara says something that's, if something is ramyale, something that a person feels a responsibility, it's a daite. The person is aware of it. In other words, a person keeps it on a front burner in his mind because he has responsibility. So, for instance, if a person's not a medical person, I ask somebody, did he look pale to you today or flushed or whatever it is, I wouldn't know. But if I have responsibility, I'm a medical person, as soon as I see him, I take notice of it. And it has halachic ramifications as well. So a person has in himself layers of memory. There's the active memory and many, many subdued memories. So he says, the Torah tzivs a mitzvah tefillin. When the Torah told us about tefillin, v'hoyelach al oisa yadecha, ulezikaron beinenecha, l'mantia toras Hashem beficho, k'biot chazok tzach mitzayim. Tefillin are meant as a remembrance. So when a person has the parshas that are tied onto him, they are a remembrance to the events of Mitzrayim, that a person has obligations. Now, let's talk about this because we have two types of mitzvahs that are associated with this, and understanding the different function of each one is important to be able to get the most out of it. When a nation wants to keep memories alive, so we celebrate something, we make some sort of ceremony, and one idea is, if you don't mark it, you'll forget it. People won't know there ever was this, that, or whatever. And just like, things that we grew up with that we thought were common history, many children don't know about it. So even the Holocaust, which is something that we think could never be forgotten, I mean, ask many people about the Inquisition, ask many young people, they'll give you a blank stare. It's not something that people remember. The more and more time goes by, more history gets, there's more history to remember. So there's certain types of remembrances that we do to keep the historical fact alive. So when we sit down on Pesach and we eat a kazayis of matzah, it's once a year, and it's something that, my father remembers his father, and his father remembered his father, and it's been going on in Klal Yisrael forever. No one's ever... We've never found any record of Klal Yisrael being mechadish, eating matzah on Pesach, and therefore it's a very living historical link. And that purpose is sort of, the Gemara says, once a year, if you don't refresh something once a year, you forget about it. So once a year, sitting down together and keeping Yetzias Mitzrayim in our minds is something that will give us the historical memory, and that's important. Putting on tefillin every day, and in those days, people wore tefillin all day long. I mean, what is that meant to keep alive the history? It can't be that the word zikaron over there would in any way be similar to the type of zikaron of once a year of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The answer is, this type of zikaron is very different. This type of zikaron is to keep pushing that to the fore of the memory, in to the active window instead of the inactive window. The second paragraph in over there. Etzel ha'odom utzmas hazikaron vafolos ha'maisim chayim bezeh tluyin zeh bezeh. Alam shein yonim. By us, the memory of something and doing it are two separate things. It's Hashem Yisbarach hazikaron hu hafolos ha'maisim. Ve'izikaron hu hest upon him. So, whenever we talk about us, remembering or not remembering is a question, will we do it or not do it? Even if we remember something, we may or not choose to do it. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we're identifying, and this sort of addresses the issue of what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered or didn't remember, it means, is this going to be in the active window, which means we will see what's going on. Those events that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now engaged in doing in the active window are those that are interactive with us. We see it happening and so on. Those that are happening without Zechira means they're in an inactive window. They're active. The computer's busy, so if a person gives a computer a difficult task to do and then he switches to something else, the computer's doing it, but I don't see what's happening. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do things, and he's doing things all the time. The real question is, are we able to understand it, to grasp hold of it, or not? An extraordinary, powerful picture that the Medrash paints, it says by Yosef and his brothers and so on, the Medrash gives us like a scenario. It takes the worst moment, and it says, Yaakov is busy mourning the son that was his favorite son and has been gone. Yosef is buried in Mitzrayim, worried about his future. Yehuda is busy doing tshuva with Tamar, this and that. This one is busy doing this. And HaKadosh Baruch said, and I'm busy bringing Mashiach to the world. In other words, the world, there are so many windows, and not one of them, I guess, what do you call them when you have these little windows on tablets? I'm a little bit behind. A lot of windows, and the inactive window is the big event, and that we're not even privy to that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he functions, so for instance, when Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered the Bris Avos. There wasn't an issue that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgot. What it means was, we looked at the screen, there was nothing there happening. The Mitzrayim were pushing us hard, we were dying, we had no future, we were slaves, and that was it. It's when Vayisker Lakim means that he made this the active window, and we began to see it. So he's defining now the concept of Vayisker Vakadosh Baruch Hu means the following. A, it means moving a certain realm of activities to the active window rather than to the back window. And the result of that is we become aware of it. And it's an incredibly incredible difference. Let's imagine ourselves, let's take a common scenario and then let's see something else in Torah. Imagine somebody comes to a hospital, especially a young child. A child is in a hospital and he has no idea what's happening. Everything is overwhelming and frightening to the nth degree because everything is strange, everything hurts, everything is uncomfortable, and it's not only his objective situation, it's the fact that he has no inkling. In the child's mind, there's nothing here that's helping him in any way, there's nothing here that's nice to him, nothing that's good to him, and it's all just cold, mean, painful, etc. An adult might be aware of how difficult his situation is, but he sees in it a possible Yeshua. He sees in it a tremendous amount of effort to help him, to save him. It's the same events are happening. Both of them are getting the same treatment. But the difference between having the active window where you understand what's happening and you're aware of it and you're able to grasp it versus having it as an inactive window where there's plenty of help being given, but you're clueless, is worlds in terms of suffering and in terms of hope and so on. By Yosef and his brothers, as soon as he said, Ani Yosef, with those two words, all the events clicked into place. It took was this Orosh HaMashiach, this Medrash I said before about HaKadosh Baruch Hu working towards bringing about the Gula, that became the active window when Yosef said, Rabbi Sai, guess what? I'm Yosef. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mida of Zikaron is the way in which he acts with us. It comes either as Hester, as a hidden window, where that's called, it's not with Zikaron, and it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is oblivious to it, and when he remembers it, it becomes the forefront of our interaction. And the difference is between heavens and earth in terms of where we are with it. So he says, and you have many different madrigos, he says. Kimuvan bedoma la'adam, yes Hashem zot madrigos. You have total memory, where everything is clear. You have somewhat, like, it's somewhat in the back of my mind, but it's still bothering me enough. It's sort of sending messages, you know, to do something and so on. So that is, that's defining what Zikaron means by Hashem. What does it mean? What does that depend on? In other words, okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a state of Zikaron, state of Zikaron. How do we get it to go and so on? At kama Hashem Yisparach Zorcha Yisanu Zetolui. At kama Hashem Yisparach Hashem Yisparach. Kishon Oymer Chasu Shom Eina Lekim Bikirbi Imken Hashem Yisparach Mastepanav. Hashem Yisparach Kilo Mesiach Hasdaita Meitonu. In other words, our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always a mirror image. And if a person pushes knowledge and awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the back of his mind, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushes his interaction with us out of the limelight also. And in a certain sense, this is our great challenge. The Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam says as follows. He speaks about how much does HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervene with a tzaddik to save him from a particularly difficult situation. And the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, it depends on two particular items. One is of what stature this person is, a big tzaddik, very big tzaddik, total tzaddik, and so on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not, as a rule, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not bend nature, but for a bigger person, you know, for somebody who's a bigger tzaddik, there'll be more of help and so on. That's one thing it depends on. And then the Rambam says it depends on a second thing. How conscious is the person of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time that the event is taking place? In other words, his sense of Hashem, is it front burner or back burner? A person can be very big tzaddik, and he does only the right things. And right now I'm busy doing X and Y and Z, which is a mitzvah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of in the back burner. I believe in Hashem, and I do for Hashem. That's why I'm doing all these mitzvahs. There's a vart from the Kotzke. It's a story which brings out the sharpness at this point. A chassid once came to the Kotzke Rebbe, was a very, very sharp, insightful, and demanded the emes and sort of knocked mofsim. That was the personality of the Kotzke. And a chassid once came to him and he said, Rebbe, I had a dream last night that God is talking to me. What could that mean? So the Rebbe said, it probably doesn't mean anything because the Gemara says that something that a person dreams about, something that a person is involved in during the day will come in his dreams naturally. So if a person all day long is obsessing about X, Y, Z, if he dreams about it, it's not a message, it's his mind simply, you know, projecting what's been, it's like when you take a sponge and you fill it with water, you squeeze it, you get the water out again. So at night, we just, our mind liberates us. So it means nothing. So he says, you're big tzaddik and so on. So that's not me a thing. So he says, I'm so busy doing mitzvahs and Torah all day long, I never think of Hashem. It can't be that. And the point of the story is that a person can become so involved with doing things that he forgets what's that supposed to be all about. It's one of the things, just as an aside, a lot of times, you know, we're shocked when a spouse or a child tells us, you know, you're not warm to me, you don't care for me, this and that. I'm shocked. What do you mean? Why do you think I'm working all day long? Why do you think I'm doing this? Why do you think this? Yes, it's true. But death also doesn't mean that we can sort of repress the point of it all down to the back, and we're so busy with X, Y, and Z, but we do lose track of it. In other words, and somebody close can sense, yes, I know you work hard, and I know you're paying my tuition, I know you're doing this and that, but are you ever thinking of me? Am I there or not? And so the midah of zikaron of Hashem, it's not a question, do I believe in Hashem, don't I believe in Hashem? If I believe or don't believe, that has nothing to do with this. It doesn't mean, do I believe he can help me or not help me? The question is really, how conscious am I of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that framework? So the midah of zikaron for us means, and that's why when a person wears tefillin, one of the things, there is an prohibition to be mesiach das from tefillin, to take our mind off it, our attention off it. It's probably the most difficult aspect of tefillin is this inyan of hasachas das. We're not supposed to be oblivious to the tefillin. So the zikaron that we're talking about here is, and so that's what the Rambam says in Mo Nevuchim, if the tzaddik is thinking about Hashem during that time, and he is a tzaddik of that stature, there is nothing in nature that will stand in his way. And it's interesting. People say this over from Chaim Volozhin. And Chaim Volozhin writes about this in Nefesh HaChaim, that this is a skula that will work. It's said over famously about the Brisker Rav, that he used it when he escaped and he passed through Nazi guards, and they seemingly were oblivious. But the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, he has a whole chapter on it, and he explains the whole Perek of Yosheb Yisrael Elyon with it, and so on, that this is something that is a very crucial part of the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we put it foot in front burner, then that reaction is like that. Meirach Kisa, last line on this page. Ha'odam azog tanshayisbarach, shakol mushpa umushkach, rak meito, a person that remembers this is it, zochel ashkochem yuchedes shememremes also melkol apkoyim. He actually quotes the Rambam here. Sorry, he zochet this hashkacha. That's how the Rambam Mor Nevuchim explains kivi chashak v'afalteh. This is the same. It's the same Rambam that we're talking about. That's what he explains. It's called shir shel pgoyim and so on. And this is what the Rambam says, that if you are dovek HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly, you are he saves you from any type of adverse conditions and so on. Next paragraph. Hadin shosh shana hu shebyom rishon shosh shana mechalek shen zvoch echad es kol hashpoz kol hashana. Rosh Hashanah is a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu budgets us out what we're going to get in the year to come. And that's why Yom Zikaron means, and that's why he says, the judgment, and let's understand this point. There is judgment for judgment's sake. For instance, if I take a person and he needs to be either punished or rewarded or whatever, and I sort of make a cheshbon of what it is that he did and doesn't do, that's justice for the sake of justice. There's another way of look. There's another type of arrangement where I look at a person deeds as follows. Imagine I have a budget to allocate to different departments. And as everyone here who's had experience in the government or with the government knows, someone works for the government, Lord help you if you don't use up your budget by the end of the year, because you will get a smaller budget next year. They will say, if you were able to do it with half the money this year, you certainly should be able to do it next year, and therefore it's very, very important to use up every last nickel before the end of the fiscal year comes by. But any time I look and I try to allocate resources, I ask myself, what is this person capable of doing? What does he need to do? And what would be the best allocation of resources to him to bring out the best in him? So Rosh Hashanah is sort of just like on the first Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the world its existence and everything it needs to continue to exist. Every year Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allocates to a person his needs. And those needs are not measured by what I would like to have. They're measured by what's the person's potential, what shall I give him to realize his potential. And in a certain sense, we become an active window. All year round, we sort of get carried along. Certainly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can intervene and does intervene. But I look at it as being, okay, this is where I am, this is what's happening, this is what's going on. Rosh Hashanah, we come to the fourth, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us and says, what is this person, and how much is he, what is he doing in this world, and what could he possibly use to make things happen? And then he says, last paragraph here, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's remembrance of us is really depends on our remembrance of him. Ashrei Isha Ishkachecha means a person who doesn't let the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu slip to the back of his mind, a person who is dovuk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and holds on to it, is fortunate. And then he brings these psukim, I'm going to skim down, and the next page, Kuf Yud Aleph. Ha'etzel Yom Rosh Hashanah. So what is something we need to do for Rosh Hashanah? Imru Lefanai Zichronos, say Zichronos so that I remember you for the good. And this is something that he brings later also, and we'll talk about it in a minute. We say Yalav Yavo, and we say it Rosh Chodesh, we say Yontiv, and we say, you know, Zichronenu, let our memory come to you for the good. What does that mean? What does it mean you should remember us for the good? If we did good, you know, it's like come home and tell you flunked on a test and tell them, imagine that I got 100. I mean, what do you mean, imagine that? What does it mean? And the answer is that, like we said before, every person is complex. Every person has sides of him that he's a tzaddik, sides of him that he's not a tzaddik, sides of him that are really pretty awful, and sides that are really extremely good, and I can look at it from different ways. It's one of the fascinating things when you're in chinuch. A lot of times when there'll be an interaction from educational staff with parents, it's not as if the facts are up for question. That's really it. But the same perspective, in every child, every person is a combination of strong points and weak points. A person who's not the parent will see things from the weak point and say, yes, I know he has this. What a shame, because he's really, I see him as the impossible child, and it only compounds the fact that he's bright and he's personable and so on. The parent won't deny the facts, but will say he's such a bright and personable child. Yes, he has a problem with anger management, and it's the same vocabulary. The question is, what's the arrangement? What's the active window? And what's, yes, there are some problems, and that's a key to looking at the same thing different ways with very different results. we our tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never to get something we don't deserve. And we wouldn't want that. And there is no such thing. We don't get what we don't deserve. There's one type of tefillah we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for credit. That's rachmim. We spoke about it different times. There's another type of tefillah where we ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu view us from the strong points. There's a piece in Shemoneh Esrei in Zichronos that really, really makes me extremely emotional. It says Zachartel Chesed Nurayach Avas Kulayach. And Vakimayzchav Yisolom is a song we had this pesukim. In other words, we've had a troubled history with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We did the trouble. You know, it's been our troubled history. And we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember that he once saw us as a bride that was perfect. He saw us as his kala. Yes, there's been a lot of stuff going on over the years, but look at us from that perspective. And that's an extremely it's extremely poignant and that's what we're asking for. We're saying, don't look at us. Sometimes you know you'll see that there'll be a person who's lolein extremely not well, and basically everything's fallen apart. And a stranger walks by, and he sees nothing. And you'll tell him, yes, he was once so wonderful, this, that, and that. Look, yeah, it's true. There's somebody else who knew him when he was at his prime and his best. And then he sees him devastated and broken. And that's extremely heartbreaking, because I still see him in his prime. What we ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not to look aside. It's not, certainly not to present a false picture of ourselves. But we're saying, look at us with a zikaron tov. Make the active window the tov and the things that need remedy to move to the background and have the remedy take place. But let the interaction be an overtly positive interaction. That's one. The way in which we ask for that. What's the way in which we awaken that midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Besides asking for it, asking helps us focus that this is what we want. We also need to do something like to make a midah keneged midah. And the midah keneged midah is to awaken in us. Everybody who's from is it believes in Hashem, sacrifices for Hashem, does mitzvahs. We're all busy all day long, basically doing what we need to do. And yet, like the story with the Kotzke, a lot of times we've pushed awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a back burner. And it's for many reasons, it's probably the most difficult part. It's for anyone who has been born from. One of the difficulties is we're very comfortable with what we're doing. We like what we're doing. But a sense and awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not easy. Even people who became Baalei Tshuva, one of the difficult transitions is coming from a place when the idea of Hashem is kind of a vivid new idea, and it's something that has overwhelmed us, to it slipping into routine again. And, you know, how does a person do that? How does a person awaken that zikaron? So, and it's probably I would say of all the aspects of Avodas Hashem, it's the most difficult. And let's explain the reason why. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a faculty of forgetting for very good reason. For instance, a child learning how to walk is a whole it's months of a learning. You know, and he may not be so ways learning, but he's learning. He's taking his missteps and so on and so forth. God forbid someone who had a stroke or something has to relearn how to walk. It's a painful, slow progression. But once we're walking, if we'd have to dedicate an active window to walking, we couldn't do much more than walk. and we wouldn't able to do anything else. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a chesed that we could have many windows that are in the back, and they're functioning. So when we walk, there's 1,001 things happening. Walking is an incredibly difficult thing, walking on 2 feet. It's something, a bird flies. It's an incredibly complex operation. I doubt that the bird dedicates conscious mind to it. It probably could never fly if it had to think each time that it flaps its wings. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, it makes us function. But it also allows for the most important thing to slip to the back. So what does, let me take a Gemara that would spell it out. It says, you know, if a person tries to fight his Yetzirah, so on and so forth, it says one of the things is Yizkor Yom HaMisa. He should remember the Yom HaMisa. Did anyone actually forget? Like, oh, you know, I thought for a while that we'll live eternally. I don't think anyone ever thought that. What it means is that we don't think about it. And the truth is we probably couldn't function if we thought about it. And it allows us to function that we can go on with life and do things as if we're immortal. But a person needs to find a way to bring it. Let's just see the last paragraph, Kuf Yud Beis. Onutzrichem l'shtadol shezuchreinu es Hashem yizbuchreinu termiti apoil. We need v'yoves and shibkol amidus. In the tshuva, he brings a shari tshuva that says, "Hisham lecha pentisa shem lekecha ushanu bezeh liska shemis v'chol eis v'chayev ha'odom lishta." So Rabbi Yonah says, "The hisham lecha pentisa lekecha. Be aware. Don't. It's a losa say to forget Hashem. It what it means is." A person needs to always try to imbue himself with the type of activity that would demonstrate that. And he brings over here the famous it's a drama and others that a person, when he's in front of a king, when he's in front of somebody very important, he acts a certain way in terms of his dress, his language, his deportment, everything about like that. Whereas if he's in some anonymous setting, he doesn't. So he speaks about this. I want to just finish off with possibly, it's certainly the most difficult. If I were to ask ourselves, what's the most difficult mitzvah? This awareness of Hashem. We function because we're not aware of Hashem. And yes, we have Bechira and we go through life. We can't, it wouldn't be normal if we would hold on to the memory. So what could work? So there is a bracha that we make on living. And when do we make the bracha on living? Shechayana v'kimani v'yana azman azeh. When something new crosses our life. Because that's the way it is. As long as no new event has happened, it's like that, don't go back to the computer. When you don't do anything on it for a while, it the whole screen goes blank. So that's the way it is. We stop. When something new happens, when a person gets some sort of, when he sees something he hasn't seen, when he gets a new pleasure, it's a jolt that helps a person wake up. And we're Mark HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Ruchnius, it is so vital. The only area in Torah that everything in mitzvahs, we just read 2-3 weeks ago, you're not allowed to add mitzvahs, you're not allowed to take off mitzvahs, and it's limiting also. Even if a person tries to add mitzvahs, there's just a limit to how many red threads you can tie around your hand. There's just not enough time to do all of it. You know, school has come, but it's there's just not. The only place where the word chiddush and new is meaningful is Torah. Chiddushei Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks chiddushei mitzvahs. If anybody adds mitzvahs, even if he's adding them, he's doing an avera. Chiddushei Torah is extremely important. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves chiddushei Torah. Chiddushei Torah doesn't mean coming up. Yes, it does mean for the person who can to come up with a whole new presentation, but it means finding new ta'am in the mitzvahs we're doing. The mitzvahs themselves are set and limited. There are 630 mitzvahs, many rabbanans, the halachis are a lot, but they start and begin in Shacharach, they end the end of Shacharach. And yes, every new year there's new tshuvas, but again, there's a limitation to it. Understanding them, feeling them, getting into them is something that we hope as we get older, our understanding changes and we have the ability to rethink. And that's why Yontif especially, because Yontif is not routine, it's a time when we say Yala Zichroneinu. It's a time when we're able to, since we're stepping out of routine, Rosh Hashanah, it's been a year, Sukkot will be a year, Kippur, and so on. So we have that Shechayonu that we make. That's one. And if we're able to each time take a new Sefer, I have one of my friends, his father's Chayim Vach passed away 2-3 years ago. It was a person, he didn't say he was a businessman, but he's a person who was learned a lot. He would learn every year Shnai Mikra, you know, and Targum, like the Halacha, and every year he would choose another Sefer to go through the entire Chumash with. And it gave him a new flavor. It wasn't only just another Pirush. He chose very different Sfarim, and it gave a whole new flavor to it. The ability to choose something before a yontif, before we do a mitzvah, anything, to be able to sit and to contemplate, to think about it, each time would be something new. The Chazal give a mashal to Torah like a baby nursing, that every time the baby is inclined to nurse, there's milk coming. Torah gives us that. And if we're able to give ourselves some time and some, you know, to quietly sit down, take something to dwell and to contemplate, Bez Hashem, it will give us each time a new zikaron. We will be able to have a new sense of Hashem. And it's so, everyone remembers the first time, either when he matured and the sense of godliness and the divine and Torah meant something. People who came into it later in life have that feeling. Maybe we can experience that exhilaration, but there's a Shechayanu. Each time we touch base with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a new Shechayanu. We feel alive again. Yes, my life is meaningful. It's important. It has a mission besides just keep myself alive day to day. And the way to do it is there's no one good speech, mimer, anything that will do it forever. We need to be, you know, the thing we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chadesh Shemeinu Kikedem. You know, we say Hashiven Hashem Alecha V'Nashuva. The result of that is Chadesh Shemeinu Kikedem. We should be Zocha, this Rosh Hashanah, it's a Zman of Chiddush, it's a Yom Zikaron. We should be able to bring out this new Zikaron of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Bez Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open his window of Zikaron to us, and we'll see the Geula and everything good that comes with it. Good year. See you soon, Taiva.
Is anyone interested in a Maariv minion? Show up here. Maariv.